I want to teach you some very valuable lessons this morning from your review in Galatians. Last Wednesday night was a very wonderful night for me. I went home after the study to watch Couchman on the ABC. Do you ever watch Couchman? They were discussing the word usage and the vehicles that they are for communication. And it was tremendous. For example, my wife and I have traveled Australia. We've traveled the world, but we've traveled primarily Australia. You come into one particular state, and you must go to wherever and get your port. Now, the next place you must go, you must get your suitcase. Now, the next place you go to, you must get your bag, right? I ask you, what do you do with port? Do you carry it or drink it? What do you do with a suitcase when it's opened and all you have in there is underwear? What do you do with bag? Well, it's an idiom. The old bag. I don't refer to my wife like that. And so I thought it would be good this morning to look at where we're at as a church, pastor and people. So I brought along this morning my lecturing notes from college. I find it hilarious, seeing I couldn't read nor write when I got saved. But when I got saved and first came into a Christian church, the very thing that was very obvious to me was that Christians did not understand what they were hearing, nor were they understanding what they were saying. And so that sent me on a very deep thirst for the usage of words and their right usage. It also sent me off to many seminars to learn, perhaps after my speech therapy course, the art of communicating. Now, everyone who wants to communicate really must believe in their product. Larry believes in his, and so do I now. He's convinced me to believe in it, and so does the Lord. But you have to believe in your product. Now, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Now, once you believe in your product, you have to have the reasons why you believe in your product. You have to know everything associated with that product. For example, if you were to ask me this morning the significance of Waylight milk, I would tell you this, that I haven't had asthma for 6 weeks, and I haven't had any mucus in my nose or in my throat or in my ears for 6 weeks. So I believe in that product. I believe in it because of what it is doing in my own life. And so as a preacher of the gospel, it was my business to learn all about my product, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I went off to seminary for 6 years. We lived on bread and Vegemite and minced meat. Do any of you live on bread and Vegemite? Sold a beautiful home that's worth $250,000 today. In order to learn all about the product that I wanted to preach about, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't get offended that I'm referring to our Savior as a product. It's only illustrative. When I went to college, I realized that what was necessary was to find out exactly what the Bible was saying and the languages of the Bible. And then I wondered, how could we communicate all of this? And then I went to some very, very learned people who pointed me in the right direction. And then I put together some very valuable notes. And then I was invited by the faculty of the college to lecture on this subject for 3 years. Let me first of all say to you that every voice, irrespective of what that voice is, can be improved. But one of the most important things in realizing that a voice can be improved is that voice is only a vehicle. What is really behind its presentation is a sound breathing method. For example, the last 12 months of my speech therapy, I did ballet. Can you imagine me doing ballet? Well, I can. But you see, the 12 months of ballet taught me rhythm. It also taught me how to control my breath. Actually, my voice is not very loud, by the way. Did you know that? What is happening now, I have a breathing apparatus inside of me that is now operating because I am mentally and psychologically calling that breathing apparatus into operation. I will not be using a microphone in Hertford Street. The building has so beautiful acoustics, and I will be using my own natural voice. I have spoken in big churches across the world. Have any of you ever been to Scots Presbyterian Church in Melbourne? A rather big church. And my good friend, the Reverend Gordon Powell, got me to speak there on one occasion, and he said, "Ron, do you want a microphone?" And I said, "No, thank you." And everyone in that great vast auditorium known as the Scots Church in Melbourne heard every word I said. So the breathing method is very important. Then I was interested in looking at so many other things that were of an interest to me. Modulation, articulation, flexibility, all of these exciting things. And by the way, I used to do all these exercises driving a bus. As a bus driver, I'd be driving along, and I'm sure all the passengers thought that I was ready for Gladesville Psychiatric Center. I'd be going, oot, ooh, ah, hey! One of the greatest problems that I see within this country today is we are fast losing our culture and our heritage. And in every God-given country across the world, there is a culture, there is a heritage. And it is through that culture and through that heritage that God works. And that is how God worked through the church at Galatia. Now, this Australian language is a beautiful language. I think it is. And unless we preserve it, we will lose it. Well, there are a lot of exercises in these notes, and there are a lot of interesting comments. There's a lot of Shakespeare, some of Hamlet. Do you know Shakespeare, and do you know Hamlet? I've been lazy for a few years, but I'll see if I can do it again for you. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. Do you know that beautiful poem by Wordsworth? So it's very, very essential that we know the product, and then it is also very, very essential that we know how to communicate it. That is, once we have learned all about that product, and that product is real to us. There is always the obvious problem. It doesn't matter where you go, anywhere in the world, your greatest problem as a public speaker is not the subject matter, but the audience. For indeed, in the audience, there are people from all different backgrounds, from all walks of life. Some come with marriage problems. Many come with psychological problems. And indeed, some come with psychiatric problems. Some come with problems in the areas of demonology. Some come having a good academic or a good educational background. Some come who are basically illiterate like I used to be. Some come from very well-to-do homes. They have a very good income. They have a very secure job. Others come from housing commission homes who are on welfare benefits, and they don't have a lot of security. And they all seem to merge themselves into a congregation in a church. And then the preacher, if he knows his subject and he knows the art of communication, he is aware that he has a cross-section of hearers. Now, those cross-section of hearers often become his dilemma. For as he prepares, he thinks of Mrs. So-and-so from the housing commission home, who is basically illiterate, and how will he communicate to her? Then he thinks of those who are very highly educated and come from well-to-do homes, and he thinks to himself, how will he communicate to them? Then he has the middle of the road section. Then he has young people who are probably all mixed up in the drug scene and alcohol scene and witchcraft scene. He can only allow himself to be guided by the Spirit of God, for indeed there is no other one to guide him, in spite of all of his learning in the fields and the art of communication. But as he leaves to come to present his subject matter, he realizes that his nervous emotional system is going to cause him to vomit and be quite ill. As a matter of fact, many Sunday mornings, the speaker is not able to eat because he realizes that through that vast congregation, there is not sufficient time to communicate effectively the things that he wishes to communicate. So his only alternative then is words that become beagles through which he can communicate. A language style. So over 4 years now I have used purposely every Lord's Day at least 4 different language styles. Have any of you picked them up? Some of you have. I use these language styles in order to communicate to the aching heart that has come to hear the Word of God. But also, in using those different language styles, I realize that I have the self-righteous also in the congregation, who do not know how to communicate, nor do they know how to speak publicly on a platform. I've had the privilege, and I am very grateful to God, I have spoken on many platforms across the world. I'm giving you a demonstration today of the ministry I came out of, to come here to slog and to sweat and to be abused and kicked in order to bring this church back to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants it to be. But I have done it for His glory and for His sake. But knowing that there are people in the congregation who haven't a clue why I am doing certain things, I have to be gracious and loving towards their ignorance. You see, the greatest tool of destruction today in the world is ignorance. We had home groups in this church for a while where a lot of people used to meet together and pool their ignorance. And once you commence to pool your ignorance, you'll never know truth. And that's why each local church has to have a pastor teacher who has been trained and called of God, anointed of God, and equipped of God in order to teach you the Word of God. Now, having said all of that, let me say to you that there are 21 scripts here. They're all there on Galatians. Handwritten, prayed over, thought about, and presented to you. But there's a little rare exception that is used in communication, which is not in the scripts. Well, some of the scripts have them, because as I've thought of them in the preparation, I have written them down. Do any of you know what I mean when I talk about the parenthesis of public speaking? You know what a parenthesis is, don't you? Well, in public speaking and in communicating effectively, a public speaker, knowing his product, knowing all about his product, he will gauge it by using what is called in public speaking the parenthesis of public speaking. I have deliberately used them, but I have used them with the spirit of love. I used one just recently. I said something to you. What was it? The doctrine of accountability. I said something like this. It appears that not many of you know the doctrine of accountability. Then I put in a little parenthesis, and I was at the board when I put in the parenthesis. And the parenthesis was simply this: I am beginning to wonder if you know anything. And under emotional nervous strain, I forgot to add, I wonder if you're learning anything that I am teaching you. Now, that parenthesis was greatly misunderstood, and misunderstood because of ignorance. Now, had you known the art of public speaking, had you known the art of word power and the beagle through which words become a language style, you would not have become offended. Now, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, or when he visited Galatia, and he set up the Galatian church, he taught them emphatically all of these great fundamental truths, or, as many of us who lecture in this field would call them, the basic rudiments. You know what a rudiment is, don't you? Those of you who learn music know the rudiments of music. And I might even shock you one day. I might sit down at that piano and play it, and we'll all get shocked. But you see, when Paul formed that church at Galatia, he formed it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as you study Galatians on the word power basis of study, you will find that Paul was very selective in every word that he used. Very, very selective. we cannot get anywhere near the feel of what was in that man's heart. So we have to go back to the original Greek. I know that God the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and I know all of that theology. And I know exactly how people are transformed by the power of God and the grace of God. But have you ever analyzed Billy Graham as a communicator? I have sat on the platform behind Billy when he's preached. And from my own training, I have watched the brilliance of this man. He's using different language styles all the way through his message in order to communicate to that vast audience so that through that vehicle, the Holy Spirit can apply the truth and bring about rebirth. Do you understand that? And so that is the very method that the Apostle Paul used when he went to Galatia to bring about conversion, transformation. And then he stayed a little while and he taught them well. And then after he left, all kinds of problems began to arise. And then he wrote his letter. And if you were to condense his letter into a simple statement, the whole crux of his letter was simply this, that into every assembly there will always come people teaching false doctrine. Why, into this assembly, over 4 years, there have come people teaching false doctrine. Some didn't stay very long. Some left rather quickly. Maybe my parenthesis might have been a rather shock to them when I said I'd boot them right out the front door. And what is the real role of the pastor? Not to run around having cups of tea and patting dear little folk over the head and saying how nice they are and all that sort of rot. Or even standing at the door, which I don't, shaking me by the hand and smiling and saying what a nice sermon. And the pastor's role is to stand in the gap in the spirit world where I stand for you every day. I don't literally stand, I kneel. In that spiritual warfare, endeavoring in the presence of God to protect you from false doctrine. And so this whole letter, Paul to the Galatians, was to deal with false doctrine. Into that church there had come the deceivers, the liars, the hypocrites. Oh, I'm sure they came in the same way as they come into every church today. Fall all over you for a little while and want to get into the membership and what they're not going to do. And after a little while, they're beginning to get certain people on side. What do we call that? Lobbying, don't we? And then they try to split a church because they want to propagate their false doctrine. Now, if the pastor isn't alert, and if the pastor hasn't been well trained, and if the pastor is not really walking with the Lord, and he's running around like a sheepdog, you know, instead of being a pastor, standing in the gap in the spiritual world, he's not going to notice it. Before he knows where he is, he's got to go. But you see, when Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians, he said the false teachers have to go because they're the ones who are splitting the church of Jesus Christ. Now, why was he so adamant? He was so adamant because the people who were propagating the false doctrine did not know their product well. Had they known their product well, they would have known the theology of the product. They would have known all the divine attributes of the product. And so Paul had to set out to teach them, through the usage of words, what the truth was. One of his classical illustrations you read, the Old Testament was a schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. He said, you no longer need that schoolmaster now. The real teacher has come. He taught a lot about law and grace. He taught a lot about the direct and permissive will of God. There was a whole sermon on it. Do you remember it? When I first came here, I had people who would tell me, after I had announced what I was going to speak on for several weeks, they've said, we've heard it all before. I remember when I did the series on Elijah. There were some very well-meaning people who used to come to this church. They said, we've heard it all before. And 9 months later, they were only just beginning to hear it. Now, what Paul, the great apostle, was doing, he was carefully choosing words in order to communicate effectively the great doctrines of the church. And that is what every pastor teacher is called upon by the Lord when called and anointed to do. He's not called or equipped or anointed to come here Sunday by Sunday to tell you a lot of nice things. How many of you read Every Day with Jesus today? Did you read the reading? We're not here to tickle the ears. We're not here to tell you nice little stories for 20 minutes. We're here to teach you the Word of God so that you can grow up spiritually and become more effective for Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you in the spirit of love. Every day is precious. And I think that everyone ought to study every day for at least 1 hour. And I'll tell you why, because you can watch television for an hour, can't you? Well, turn your television off and study the Word of God for an hour. And if you do that, you're going to grow spiritually. And if you come here Wednesday night and Sundays, you're going to be taught the Word of God. At least I hope you are, aren't you? Now, this morning is an explanation for you, to let you know what is behind the man that God has given to you for a little while. For a little while. You would have done well to have come and sat down in my study and talked with me. You may have learned a few things, don't you think? Ignorance is no excuse for stupidity. And what God has done in my life, He can do in every one of your lives. God the Holy Spirit didn't change just because of Ron Baker, did He? When God the Holy Spirit brought Ron Baker to a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, He brought Ron Baker to a knowledge of the product, the person who would transform his life. But it was Ron Baker's responsibility to study, to seek every avenue in order to learn more about the product. But then there was one other lesson that Ron Baker had to learn, and that was he had to try and test the product to see if it would stand the trials of life. And do you know that in 30 years the Lord Jesus Christ has never let me down? Never let me down. And the Lord Jesus Christ can take hold of each one of you. He can transform your life. He can educate you. He can teach you the deep secrets of the Word of God, providing you are willing to pay the price and study the Word of God. Study, study, study. I learned a little phrase that goes something like this many, many years ago. I learned it before I left college. Study and teach. Study and teach. And it's a basic principle that can be applied in your marriage, in the rearing of your children, and in your Christian life. Now, I hope this morning in the review you've learned something, have you? You beautiful people, I love you. Well, don't forget, get to know all about your product, and then ask the Lord to show you the ways in which you can communicate effectively your product. Because if you can't, I'm going to use an ordinary secular word here without being misunderstood, but it's a word that's going to convey the vigor of language that I want to use right now. If you can't market your product in every God-given circumstances, then you don't know anything about your product. Wouldn't you agree? If it was that this afternoon I had to go to Bogger Road, as I've been before, I've been to jail, by the way, to preach the gospel. If I was to go to Bogger Road this afternoon to communicate the gospel, I would know what product I was communicating. But I would also know the language style in which to communicate the product. Now, beloved people, there's a beautiful ministry ahead of you, and there's a lot of beautiful things that God's going to give you, but only on the condition that He has the preeminence. Now, as I said, He's given me to you for a little while, and I hope that you've learned something. We're going to sing a grand old hymn as we finish this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. I was blind once, blind drunk. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.